Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach is back, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC or 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very, very busy show coming up today. Looking forward to talking to our guest at 10:33. Olivia Rita is with the Alliance for the Great Lakes, and they recently came out with a report about the amount of junk in our Great Lakes, and unfortunately, the vast majority of it is plastic. So we're going to talk to Olivia about what we can do about this, because, again, that's the water we drink, folks.
Yep.
And microplastics, not such a good thing. Public service announcement next hour, 11:33, with Dr. Laura Hanks. And we had a listener send in a question last week.
Yes.
That Dr. Hanks is going to address. And if you ever have a question for her, a health-related issue, you can always email it to janesays@civicmedia.us. janesays@civicmedia.us. And we will see if Dr. Hanks can't address that for you. We wanted to start the show off, though, with some good news. Despite what you might hear from some people, crime is down, and crime is coming down.
What?
Yeah. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting crime in Milwaukee continued falling in the first quarter of this year. Overall numbers down 10% from the same time last year. Homicides down 39% in the first quarter, dropping from 38 last year to 23 for the same period this year. That's still too many.
Yes.
But at least it's moving in the right direction. It's not going up and up and up.
We here at Matt and Aaron Air firmly believe that crime is bad, and we would like to see no crime happening. But in the light of that, this is good news.
This is good news. Compared to the first quarter of 2022, Milwaukee broke its homicide record. Homicides are down 54%. This does, however, represent some of the coldest months of the year. Apparently, that's when crime typically goes down because we're not out on the streets.
Yeah.
Officials crediting the continuing decreases in homicides, shootings, car thefts, and other categories to various community and city efforts. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, quote, "We've got every reason to applaud the latest numbers across the board. Milwaukee is heading in the right direction, but now is certainly no time to relax." Unquote.
Absolutely not. I mean, good stuff. Pat yourself on the back for about 15 seconds, then time to get back to work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't rest on this. Again, the numbers are still too high, but at least they're going in the right direction. Other categories showing similar results: non-fatal shootings down 27% in the first quarter of 2024, from 176 last year to 129 this year. Compared to the same time frame in 2022, that's down 25%. And the city of Milwaukee's homicide clearance rate hit 83%. For the first quarter of the year, compared to 74% at the start of the year. That's big.
And from what I understand too, that the number categories similar in other cities are also going down.
Yes.
And that's also a great thing as well.
It is. This is a good thing. This is a good thing for all of us as Americans.
Yeah.
Homicides in major U.S. cities, according to The Guardian, falling at one of the fastest rates of decline ever recorded. Jeff Asher is with a data analytics company that focuses on criminal justice. They talked about their findings of this with the Wall Street Journal after going through data released from the FBI. In their sample of almost 200 cities with different populations, murder was down 20.8% starting in January through the end of March this year when compared to the same period in 2023. And again, according to The Guardian, in prominent cities like Washington, D.C., New Orleans, Las Vegas, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Detroit, Columbus, Nashville, Philly, murder is down by more than 30%.
And I'm glad they said all of that stuff, and I don't mean to this is wonderful news. I love hearing about this, and I don't want to do what I'm about to do, but I have to.
Uh-oh.
No, it's fine. It's all of those cities are cities that when leaders in the GOP want to talk about how terrible our country is.
Crime is rampant.
How anti-American the cities are because they're full of nothing but, you know, liberals and crime and liberals. liberal equals crime and vice versa, they always point to those cities. Mm-hmm. D.C., Chicago, they love...
As the bad examples.
They can't stop talking about Chicago when it comes to crime numbers. So is the fact that they included all those cities in the numbers and on the statistics showing that the numbers are going down. They're not to where anyone wants them to be.
Obviously not.
And no point, as Mayor Johnson said, is anyone going to stop. But the numbers dropping is a good thing. And the numbers have not been as terrible as people have led others to think in the first place. The cities are not these cesspools of crime and depravity. It's,
right.
You know, they're easy targets for politicians because they're not trying to reach those voters. They're trying to reach the voters that are 30 minutes outside of those cities.
Yes.
So it's good to hear this information. It's good to hear this news. And I'm hoping that in 2025, this time next year, we're having the same talk with better numbers.
Yes.
And yeah. It's-
and again, a reminder, 4 years ago, isn't that when crime in 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic, that's when numbers really started to skyrocket.
Yeah.
Of crimes going up.
Yeah.
This is a headline in the Wall Street Journal. Again, Wall Street Journal, consider the source. Mm-hmm. Headline, homicides are plummeting in American cities. Boston down 82%. San Diego, 48%. Las Vegas, 40%. Milwaukee, 36%. Pittsburgh, 35%. Detroit, 32%. And this isn't a one-time drop. This is an acceleration of a trend that started in 2023.
And a reminder, where did you just read those statistics from?
The Wall Street Journal. That liberal rag that you just can't trust.
Barack Obama's favorite communist propaganda. The Wall Street Journal, baby.
Again, this isn't the end point. We still have more work to do, but this is a good thing.
Yes. And we're not saying this. We're not talking about the topic to say ha ha or anything. We want to see less crime. We want to see the world of lack. We want to see the world that, like, the GOP leaders talk about where there's no crime anywhere. That's just not a case. That's just not what's going to happen. And we're saying this to give you the information.
Because these are the numbers. These are the statistics. So elected officials can say whatever they want about Democratic cities or hotbeds of crime, blah, 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 blah. No. No. The numbers are coming down again. From the Wall Street Journal.
And if you have, and if folks, if you're listening to this right now, and these numbers you think are just hokum, lies, thank you. I love that word.
Hokum.
Hokum. Or lies, and you're just sizzling in your skull right now about, that's not true at all. Feel free to contact us via text or calling, or email even.
Yeah.
Tell us the real numbers that you think are true. And give us the sources. Tell us where you got them from. We're happy to put those out. If they're corroborated,
right,
valuable, and true. But if they're just you saying, murder's up everywhere in the big cities, that's not a source. That's not a statistic. That's just you using words to say sounds.
Yes, your mouth is making sounds with your mouth. That's kind of like a cappella.
I understand the words, but I don't understand what you're saying.
And as always, we will include links in our show notes when the podcast gets posted. It takes about an hour after the show as Greg puts that together. So if you want to look at the sources that we're using, you can always check those out in the show notes. Just go to civicmedia.us, go to Matt Nair on Air, and that will take you to every previous show in podcast form, hour one and hour two.
And don't forget to download those podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to those podcasts. And if you think we're doing a great job, give us a 5-star review, because those 5-star reviews, I'm telling you right now, they do a good job, because you get enough 5-star reviews, your popularity starts to grow, and your show gets recommended by the podcast distribution of choice.
Oh.
So we're just saying, if you think we've earned it.
Only then.
And if we have less than 5 stars, send all of those complaints to calvin@angelfire.net/pdf/crime stats.
He's so easy to get a hold of. We like to make sure that you can always reach out to Calvin when you need to. Send it in to Jane Says. If you ever have anything, if there's a topic going on in your community, if there's a guest that you think we should have, if there's a nonprofit that you would like to be highlighted, mm-hmm. wherever you are, if you're in Oshkosh or Hayward or Park Falls or Eau Claire or Amory. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And again, I just think it's important. I know that we tend to go with how we feel is what's real.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not necessarily accurate. You got to have the numbers to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Although you and I were talking before we got on the air, the one thing that is not getting better, at least here in Wisconsin, and I think it's pretty much statewide, not just in the urban areas, is the bad driving.
Oh my good gravy.
It's insane. I saw it this morning and it was pouring when I was driving in.
Yeah.
And the number of people who blow through obviously red lights.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously red lights. Yep. Not lingering yellow.
That a meandering
yellowish. No, they're blowing through red lights and it's people of all ages and all colors. I see it almost every day.
Yeah. I have turned into an old man about this. I told you before the show started, if I'm on a 4-lane freeway, like 94 heading home, mm-hmm. those two middle lanes, that's where I live. That's where I feel comfortable.
That's where you're safe.
I do 5, maybe 10 miles over the speed limit. I know I'm not a role model, but I don't like being in the left lane unless I'm passing. I don't like being in the right lane because I feel like I'm going too fast for that. But I stay in that middle lane. The amount of people who just, I mean, the speed with which people have their cars on the freeway, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
It's frightening. Like, if I'm doing 78, these people are doing like 95.
Yeah, that's a little too fast, friends. All right. Oplander, he's ticked.
He's back.
We'll talk about that. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gives me, and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane.
Around the curve, and everything that's in the world, I hops up and marries a glamour girl. I'm mad.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, coming up at 10:33, we're going to be joined by Olivia Rita. She's with the Alliance for the Great Lakes, and they recently did a study about the amount of junk in our lakes. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk to her about their findings and what we can do as individuals. Because, again, this is the water we drink. We kind of need that.
I thought I was doing all this stuff when I was just separating my garbage from my plastics.
I think it's more about let's not throw things out of windows.
Yeah.
They end up getting washed into our rivers and then ultimately into our lakes.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking to Olivia coming up at 10:33. Right now, though, Governor Evers not ruling out the potential of filing a lawsuit to force Republicans in Wisconsin to release the money to address PFAS or these forever chemicals.
Yeah.
He had called a meeting of the budget committee last week to do this. No Republicans showed up. So if you want to talk about the folks who do nothing and they're really good at doing nothing, you know who to look at, not just in Wisconsin, but nationally too. No Republicans showed up for that meeting. Governor Evers, of course, did appear alongside Democratic members of the Joint Finance Committee yesterday. He wants them to address both the PFAS and the lack of medical resources now in northeastern Wisconsin. And I know Pat Kreitlow has talked about that a lot because that directly affects him and all those people up there.
And just as a reminder for PFAS, the money is there.
Yes.
It's there. It's sitting there, not being distributed or allocated or used. It's just, this isn't taking your tax dollars.
No.
This isn't, you know, anything like that. This is money that's sitting there waiting to be used. And the Republicans are just like,
no.
No, I was done working in February, March. I'm good. I'm going home. I got things to do.
Well, they essentially said, you know, you should have passed the one that we gave you. There are reasons why he didn't do that, yeah. And we'll get to that. Governor Evers, in an article from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, accusing the Joint Finance Committee as acting like a fourth branch of power and not just a part of the legislature. So he did veto this bill, which outlined how the DNR could spend this $125 million. It's a PFAS trust fund that was set aside last year. And then Governor Evers called for the JFC, the Joint Finance Committee, to come in for a special meeting to release the money and allow the agency to spend it without following the strict guidelines. So what this measure would have done that was presented by the Republicans, it would have set up grant programs to give aid to communities with contamination, but it would also limit DNR actions that they could use to address contamination or even hold polluters accountable. So once again, the GOP measure is like, okay, we'll give you funding, but we're going to put such restrictions on you that we're still not really going to do anything about regulating PFAS. Yeah, I know you're speechless.
I actually am because honestly, it once again, I hate bringing it up, but my Northwoods friends who love their land, my farmer friends who want to protect their
land, who need their land.
Do you find this sort of behavior acceptable? These are, in some instances, your elected representatives. This is money sitting here to protect our lands.
And our communities.
The conservation effort within this $125 million is big because it's going to protect our beautiful state. Why? The not showing up is just insulting. It's against everything they stand for, because when they talk about the beauty of the state, when they talk about the farmers, and because they always do, politicians love to talk about farmers if they have them, and every state has farmers. But this notion of not showing up to distribute money because they're too afraid, because it really is they're afraid to regulate. The moment they try to regulate any of these companies, any of these things, period, they're going to have lobbyists all over them saying, we wrote this law for you to pass. Why didn't you pass it?
Shades of WMC.
So I guess it's once again, I'm not mad, Jane. I'm just disappointed in them because they're letting these individuals down. And these are individuals who vote for them.
Well, and the other thing, and I've said this before, and I understand regulations are expensive and can be very expensive and be very inconvenient. Yes. However, if you are killing off your customers by allowing these chemicals in our water, if you're killing off your own customers by refusing to take action on these things, I don't understand how that's a viable business plan.
I mean, from the business side of it, that doesn't make sense. From the humanity side of it, too, it doesn't make sense. You don't want to help? You don't want to be a part of the solution?
Well, don't you drink the same water?
No, they all drink bottled water.
Oh, okay.
Special bottled water.
Environmental groups, the Evers administration, and those impacted communities, because don't forget there's that island near La Crosse that has been using bottled water, for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
They say the Republican bill would have harmed the DNR's ability to enforce cleanup of PFAS, and it will still let businesses get away with contamination.
I believe it's Cleveland, Wisconsin. Columbus, Wisconsin won for best drinking water, and Cleveland, Wisconsin has a almost Flint, Michigan type of...
It's the town of Campbell.
Campbell, okay, all right.
The French Island community that neighbors La Crosse, and they've been fighting with this for years.
Yeah.
Nearly all private wells there are contaminated with PFAS. And so they're waiting, and so we wait, and you wait, and you wait. Just about a minute and a half left. Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina. What'd you want to say real quickly?
Good morning. Very quick. You were right. They're killing their own customers, but also... They're making us deliver the new consumers forcefully. They cancel the abortion, so they don't care.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't seem like they care, Karina. Thank you very much. And thank you, as always, for listening. Really appreciate it. Again, I I've said this for years, I don't understand how not caring about the health and well-being of your customers is a good business model.
Oh,
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Because you have a heart, Jane.
And I'm not a business person.
I'm a business person.
You are a business person.
The thing is, I am a business person, and I care about my customers. And that's why they come back, and that's why they love us. Granted, I'm not in the farming world, but the same idea.
Got to care about each other a little
bit. Yeah. Scotch.
All right. News is coming up next. And then on the other side, Olivia Rita is going to join us. We're going to talk about plastics in the Great Lakes. She's with the Alliance for the Great Lakes. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now I can go down in the bottom of the sea, count the grains of sand, peep through muddy water and spy dry land. Man! Try to be glad. Now everybody wants to know about the clothes, but them fine dresses I've been buying you, you don't wear them no more. Won't be any more washing and hanging upside the wall and throwing them out the window, running out catch them before they fall. I'm mad.
Morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest joining us. She is with the Alliance for the Great Lakes. Olivia Rita joins us. Good morning, Olivia. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. I'm doing well. How are you all doing?
We're good. This is not good news, unfortunately, this report that you made from the Alliance for the Great Lakes. You collected data on all of the different junk picked up during more than 14,000 volunteer-led beach cleanups over the last 20 years. And this included all five Great Lakes, the bordering states, including Wisconsin. What wonderful thing did you find?
Great question. Yes, like you said, unfortunately not the best news of what we're finding, but it's definitely hopeful to see so many people caring about this issue and things like this. But one of the things we find the most of on the beach is plastic. So when we did this data analysis, which the years for this data analysis were 2003 to 2023, so 20 years of adaptive beach data, we found that on average in any of those given years, 86% of the pieces of litter that our volunteers were removing from Great Lakes shorelines were composed either partially or fully of plastic. So those types of items can vary. Sometimes they're little tiny pieces. We find a lot of tiny trash, so like small pieces of plastic, to the point where you might not even know what the source, you know, material or source object was, just a tiny little plastic piece you find in the sand.
Sure.
But we also find, you know, a lot of food products, so like plastic takeout containers or straws or, you know, single-use items that folks use once and discard of, and they, you know, end up being left behind on the beach, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, you know, blowing onto the beach, things like that.
I think we're just slobs, unfortunately. I do. It makes me crazy because there's garbage cans all over the place, people. It's not like we're hiding them from you.
Right. There are a lot of trash receptacles. I like to think, you know, most people are well-intended and, you know, sometimes too, the trash receptacles might, you know, fall over or blow onto the beach. But yeah, a lot of it. And unfortunately, when you look at the makeup of some of the top items that we're seeing, they aren't like items we're not familiar with. They're all items that we're all very familiar with and probably most of us use in our day-to-day life, or at least, you know of the objects. So yeah, a lot of kind of locally discarded items.
Well, exactly. And you said you pointed out things, Olivia, like food wrappers, straws, mm-hmm. plastic water bottles. Don't we all have our own water thing now? Are we all still drinking from individual water bottles? I'll buy you one.
All right. I feel like you're mad at me right now. Like, this is...
No, but my friends, we have to conserve our resources. We have to take care of our water. We need this to survive. It's just one of those little tiny critical things like oxygen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we talk in the report, it's specifically alarming in the Great Lakes when we talk about plastic pollution, because it is, vital to our health. And 40 million people do get their drinking water from the Great Lakes. So when we're talking about microplastics in drinking water, or, microplastics have been found in human blood and human stool and human breast milk, human lungs. So we know it's pervasive. So when we're talking about plastic pollution in the Great Lakes, it's really important to consider that public health aspect, the fact that we do, drink the water from the Great Lakes. So I think that's a very important, factor when we're talking about this in the Great Lakes. But yeah, in the report we talk about too, obviously it's important that individuals care about this and use reusable items when they can and avoid single-use plastic. But we also talk about we need other entities to address this, and we really need a systemic kind of approach, and solution. And we need government and plastic producers to join this fight too. And it's not just, all on the individual. It's definitely something that we need. It's a big, complex issue. So we definitely need a systemic approach to this. We need to reduce the production of single-use plastic and hold, producers responsible for the complete cycle of plastic. Plastic has harmful impacts all the way from its production to when we find it on the beach. So really kind of taking that whole sort of cycle of it into account when we're talking about solutions.
If you're just joining us, Olivia Rita is our guest. She is with the Alliance for the Great Lakes, and we're talking about a recent study that they came out with. You can find this at WPR about what we are finding in the Great Lakes water, and a lot of it is plastic. And when you talk, Olivia, about those microplastics, it's just something that gets broken down and broken down and broken down over and over and over and over, right? Being beat up at the bottom of the lake or whatever it is. And then it just keeps getting into teenier and tinier pieces. And this report in WPR says they're showing microplastics are showing up in earthworms.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's really, microplastic. There's more and more research kind of coming out about it. And it's really just everywhere. And like you said, Jane, it's the microplastics are those tiny, we find sometimes large items on the beach, sometimes small items, but really, it's not going away. It's just breaking down into smaller and smaller and smaller pieces until it's in the water, almost impossible to remove. When we're kind of interfacing with the plastic on the beach, it's on the sand, we're mostly able to remove what we can, but even that's difficult, right? When the pieces are real tiny and you have to sort of sift through the sand, there's only so much of that, that we can really do. So while we're so appreciative, of our volunteers, and this data analysis would not be possible without all of their efforts and those individuals and many others are very passionate about this issue and taking action. But we do need solutions that kind of go beyond that, of course, because once it's like you're saying, once it's in the water and once it's really tiny, very difficult to remove and address, for sure.
And you talk about the work of the volunteers and it's just part of the puzzle. The other part, I imagine, has to be educating the public, through which this article does do, your report does. And there are a lot of people out there who might think to themselves, oh, plastic on the beach, I don't have to worry about that. I don't go to the beach. I separate my recyclables from my trash. And they think that they're doing, they are doing the good work. They are doing what's asked of them through their municipalities. They got their blue bin and their brown bin.
Right.
But what sorts of misconceptions and just hard truths do you have to explain to people for them to understand their impact on this problem? For them to understand?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. I think sometimes environmental issues can feel, sometimes in your day-to-day life might feel removed from you. But I think, the thing about Great Lakes issues and for example, like we're talking about today, plastic pollution, is that there is such an interconnectedness to this ecosystem and to all of, you know, us who live around the Great Lakes. Our lives are so interconnected with the Great Lakes, whether it's something we think about daily or not. You know, most of us, if you're in the watershed and you're in the basin, you're drinking Great Lakes water, and we all need water to survive. So I think that piece of the puzzle should make makes everyone care for yourself and your community and those around you. Also for wildlife, a lot of other species, you know, share this ecosystem with us, and they're ingesting pieces of plastic. They can get entangled by them, all kinds of, you know, dangerous impacts on them as well. But I think that, like, yeah, that kind of piece of the puzzle where we drink the water is something that I always try to use as a connecting piece when talking to folks, if this work is new to them or the concept is new to them. I think everyone, you know, does care about this and can care about this once they kind of think about all the ways that we're connected to this issue, unfortunately. And I think some of the other hard truths are just, while there are so many actions that we can take individually, like we can't recycle our way out of this, for example, some types of plastic that, for example, are very difficult to recycle. Like, we talk about plastic foam in the report, and, you know, that's a type of plastic that can be particularly problematic, you know, due to its kind of like chemical makeup. It's very difficult to recycle, nearly impossible to recycle at times. And also, you know, when it's on the beach, it easily kind of breaks apart and can get, it's very lightweight. So it blows away. A lot of times when we're on the beach and trying to pick up the foam pieces, it's difficult because if it's windy, it's blowing all over the place. It's hard to manage it. So I think those are some of the hard truths that we come up against. And, you know, when thinking about how to get people to care and just talk about, because I think, you know, at the heart, most people want to do good and want to help address this, and making that sort of public health connection, I think, is really powerful.
One of our listeners is Sherry from Horicon, listening in, watching the live stream right now. And she asked the question, how do we test the water? You know, if you talk about volunteers, is there a way people at home can test their own water, or, you know, is there things they can do to see what they're drinking?
Great question. So I'm assuming you mean like testing the water to see if it has microplastics, perhaps. Is that the question?
I think.
I'm going to assume on Sherry's case, yes.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for your question, Sherry, and for tuning in. That's a great question. And I'm not, a lot of the things that and stats that we look at have been like done by researchers and folks who have gone out and done that testing themselves. But if you follow along on our website, we often provide resources to people who are looking to do things like that. I'm not sure of that exact answer myself. If there's like an at-home kit you could do, I hope so. That would be really helpful if there is.
What is your website, by the way, Olivia?
Say that again, Gina. I'm sorry.
What is your website? So we can put it in the show
notes.
Great
question. Sure. Yeah. It's greatlakes.org.
Okay.
And if you're interested in kind of, you know, receiving updates along the way, if you go to greatlakes.org/subscribe, you can get our email updates, where a lot of times we'll send out action alerts or ways you can take action on this issue and others.
Olivia, you had mentioned, you know, obviously we're all in this together, and it can't just be consumers, but it's got to be the manufacturers. Are the plastics companies just way resistant to making any changes?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of, it's hard to say about specific manufacturers. I don't know all of those details myself, but there have been, you know, different types of laws enacted in certain states that sort of help close that loop and help put things in action for manufacturers to be part of solutions. So that is something that we're advocating for. We call it extended producer responsibility laws. And that's something that the Alliance is advocating for. And that's going on our website and signing up for our emails is a way to stay up to date on those, you know, types of solutions. It's hard to speak to like certain manufacturers, but I think, like I said, it's a very complex issue. So it's hard to...
Well, just personally, and I know this didn't make me very popular here, but I stopped buying plastic cups for us to use. And now we have coffee cups, and now we take turns washing the coffee cups, because we were going through people were having a half a glass of water and throwing it away and then going to get another plastic cup. So can't it just be little things like that, Olivia, that are within our control?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great example of just ways to use less single-use plastic and kind of have the demand for those products, you know, be less. So there's definitely actions 100% that people can take in their daily life just like that. But we do recognize that it has to go beyond that. And we do have to have other players corporations, businesses, government to also address this issue as well systemically. But absolutely, those are great examples of things you can do as an individual.
I think it's funny. It probably shocks people when you say things like, we share this earth with other creatures. You know, like they think to themselves, oh, yes, there are birds and there are fish and there are other things. I am not the only entity walking on this, you know, spherical rock.
Exactly.
So
yeah, we share it with lots of things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the partnership too. I mean, that's, I think that's one of the most important, because I think, you know, grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and we were always told about the importance of recycling and the importance of doing this, and it's on us to save the earth through recycling. Then we slowly found out, I was like, oh no,
it's not quite as effective as we thought.
Yeah. And so it's about those partnerships with those big companies and bringing them to the table. And, you know, I'm not going to slap their wrists and say, you've done wrong. It's like, no, let's just do better. Let's just do better by the earth, because you'll make money and we'll live. It's a win-win.
Right, exactly. It definitely is going to take everyone, like you said. You know, I think just individuals and groups, you know, coming together for a systemic solution. And it's not going to be easy, but it's definitely really important. If we don't address this, these consequences and impacts will continue to, you know, happen and
absolutely
get worse. So,
absolutely.
Yep.
Olivia Rita is with the Alliance for the Great Lakes. Thank you so very much for spending some time with us, Olivia. We will get the link up to your website if you want to learn more or you want to get involved. You can find the show notes at civicmedia.us. Thank you so much, Olivia. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air with a little trial update up next, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. Just a reminder to download the free and fabulous Civic Media app. That way you can listen to all of the shows all across the state, no matter where you are. You can call and text directly from the app. It's pretty slick. So you can get that wherever you get your apps. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour at 11:33, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for our public cervix announcements. And she's going to respond to a question we had from a listener that texted that in last week. If you ever have a question for the doctor, you can email it to janesays@civicmedia.us. Jane says at civicmedia.us. Then right after the news at 11 o'clock, could you just go away, please? Just go away.
Or who's annoying Jane now?
Who's annoying Jane lately? That will be up after the 11 o'clock news. Wanted to give you a little trial update with the Donald Trump trial going on in New York City. They are not in court today. They're not in session today. But yesterday, they actually got something done.
Hmm.
The judge and lawyer selected 7 of 12 jurors. They do need an additional 6 alternates. They did not seem to have a deep knowledge of the case. And we talked about this yesterday, Greg, kind of wondering, where are you living that you're not even aware of this? They said they could be impartial as they determine whether Donald Trump is guilty of the charges against him.
Well, remember, we've been saying this before to listeners who may not be as knowledgeable. And I don't use that word in like, oh, we know so much. Some people just, they have
a life.
You have a life. You have a job. They don't have time to read. And they're not, you know, we're paid to know this stuff.
True.
They got stuff to do. And sometimes I wouldn't mind taking like 40% of this stuff out of my brain for an hour, because I want to watch Elementary on CBS, but I can't because I'm thinking about stuff all the time.
They're halfway there.
Yay.
They're halfway there. Of course, Donald Trump's attorneys were combing through old social media posts for these prospective jurors. In some cases, going back 8 years.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
And some got tossed.
Yeah.
Not all of them. They only get so many strikes.
Yes.
There are. It's not like they have an unlimited ability to get rid of every juror possible. They could drag that out for years.
Yeah.
So I believe it's 10. I think they both have 10 that they can say, yeah, I don't want you here. You're not gonna cut it through.
That's an SNL cold open right there. Just the jury process, and you got like the NBA commentators, and you're like, yeah, he's got 4 strikes left. I mean, I said that to you last week. I wouldn't last 20 minutes in that building. I'd check in, I'd sit down, I'd open book up. They'd say, hey, sir, would you like to be? I'm like, just check my Twitter and I will go home, please. Please validate my parking.
Well, there were 50 people who did that. They had 96 potential jurors in on Monday. And when they asked, could you be impartial on this? And 50 of them raised their hands and said, nope.
No.
Can't do it.
Can't.
And that's good because they shouldn't be there. We do need a jury of his peers, impartial. Look at the evidence.
But who's a peer to that man?
Oh, I could name some things that are a peer. Speaking of Donald Trump, and of course, we talked yesterday about his apparently snoozing off, having a little nappy time in
Sleepy
court.
Don?
Sleepy Don. Donald Trump fired off at Jimmy Kimmel after Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently, it was the monologue on Monday night where he called him Dozo the Clown. So that's kind of in the running with Don Snorleone, Orange Julius. What was the other one from yesterday?
Didn't you say Sleepy? I thought Sleepy Don.
Sleepy Don. There was one other one. But yeah, Donald Trump not happy with Jimmy Kimmel. That feud has been kind of going on for a long time.
It's just like he can't. He's a former president. And like his main competitor is Jimmy Kimmel. And you know who loves every waking moment of this? Jimmy Kimmel.
Seriously.
Don Snorleone, Orange Julius, Sleepy Don. That's all I got. But yeah, those are all great. They're all I like Orange Julius, probably. Don Snorleone.
Don Snorleone is really pretty good. And then the other thing that just made me laugh, and I sent this story to Maggie Dawn, who is a very accomplished attorney. Just to get her response to it. Alina Haba, who is one of Donald Trump's lawyers.
Sounds like you're trying to say harbor in your Haba. Boss. I'm down by the Haba.
Down by the Haba. Alina Haba says it is by design Trump got a judge who would scold his attorneys to make them look inept the way that she was made to look inept during Trump's civil trials. Haba said, I've been admonished like that. It's by design. It's to make you appear stupid in front of a jury. Alina, I think you did that all on your own.
Yeah, this is your design, lady.
Displaying your ineptness. It's a gift.
What did she say? She said,
I would rather be pretty than smart, yeah, because I can fake being smart.
Well, you're doing a horrible job right now, Ms. Haba.
This got all kinds of attention on social media where Ms. Haba was told, it's working, honey. You appear to be the worst attorney in history.
I'm convinced.
Oh, hey, said another. How is faking being smart working out for you, Alina? Others laughed at her complaints that a New York prosecutor would try his case in New York, where he was elected to prosecute crimes, where the alleged crime allegedly took place. So she's on the... Oof. So Maggie just laughed when I said to that article. She said, yes, that's crazy.
If you didn't want all the attention, Ms. Haba, you should never have taken this case. By the way, good luck with that check clearing.
Yeah, you should have gotten paid up front. You should have gotten paid up front. That was a mistake.
I am positive either Trump himself or someone close to him said, you should represent us for free because all the free publicity they're going to be knocking on your doors. Represented Trump.
Yeah, it's going to do so much for your career. Dave from New Berlin texting in, Trump will thin skin.
I like that one.
We'll keep that one. We'll keep that one in the rotation.
In the Hoppa.
Thank you so much, Dave. News is coming up next. And then, just go away. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
me, please.